WEEI afternoons and a Monday afternoon. Dark in a good way. Maybe that'll be my new description. Andy Hart. Dark, but in a good way. I've been called the likable jerk and other things, so.
Taking over for I'm Not For Everyone?
Yeah. I wore that actually yesterday, so I sported that t-shirt. But Joe Mazzulla, basking in the darkness of a Game 3 win over the Knicks, where the Boston Celtics, I'll be damned. They shoot well from three, and they control the game wire to wire. When you double your shooting percentage among the shots you shoot most often, well, it's a good game plan, it seems like. A good way to win a basketball game. Jason Tatum was good. They got contributions from everyone. They cruised. The Knicks, I thought, exposed themselves again as just, they haven't played really good basketball for three games, so it's weird they're up 2-1 in the series. But
oh, expose themselves like that.
Yeah, no.
Because people do weird things in Midtown Manhattan. Yeah. I was there Saturday afternoon, yeah. And it's freakier than I remember.
It is a little weird that you were outside the arena. I was watching Celtics-Knicks from Philadelphia, which is sort of the northeast a-hole fans triangle of the world or whatever you want to call
it. That's actually what Ben Franklin wanted it referred to as when he helped found it way, way, way back when.
So we had this this game covered in a variety of fronts, but I guess the simple question is, are the Celtics back? Do we feel good? Are they rolling? Some of us thought they were going to sweep this series. Now they got one. Does that mean they're just going to bang out three more? Tonight's game, is it in question? Who's the pressure on? There's a lot of narratives and storylines that I feel like we can delve into here today. We'll also, Fitzy, get into the Rafi Devers situation because...
Oh, good. We haven't paid any attention to that whiny power hitter in days.
Well, he got the attention of his boss. Shortly after we went off the air on Friday, word came that John Henry, who is a distant part of this team and its management most times, was very active, flying to Kansas City to meet with Rafi Devers. A productive conversation is the way it's been described by Craig Breslow and others.
Productive, you say?
That's what it says. Productive
so
is what
hitter been.
Devers has been at the plate, absolutely. As hot as anyone in baseball, according to Will Fleming. Home run, all that. So we'll get into that situation, which, Fitzy, for me, the interesting thing there is how much support Rafi Devers is getting in the media world. Columns being written supporting Rafi Devers, which I find... interesting, I guess, is the word I'll use, and we can get into that later. But let's start with the Celtics. Celtics are back, baby, right? Right, Nick?
Oh, you're back? I mean, did
right,
they
Nick,
ever leave? Actually,
Nick.
No. The funny thing was they've been here the whole time. They just didn't good. Show. They just didn't show their right face. Saturday was thoroughly enjoyable to the degree of, oh, that's where you've been, you jerks. This is what I expected out of you. This is the team that handily took care of the Knickerbockers all season long. Well, except the last game, but of course they were playing short staff. They still found a way to dig that game out as well. It is funny what happens when you somehow relax and or tap into your darkness. And when Mazzulla says that, I really think he means finding that extra edge that you need. He just has to put it in very Mazzullan terms, Montessori Mazzulla. I think he pulled all the right levers, put all the right players on the court at the same time. Huge game for Peyton Pritchard as well. Love seeing, I think my favorite tweet of the weekend, Hart, was when someone said, man, people paying $2,500, celebrities sitting courtside just so they could watch Peyton Pritchard mop the floor with their overpriced basketball team. Just, you love to see it. But as far as the Celtics go, this is exactly how this series should have gone. They had a 28-point lead Saturday, and to most of us, it was like, this is terrifying because I saw what they did in games 1 and 2 when they had 20-point leads and squandered those successively. This is the way this series should have gone. It should be 3-0, but we can't live in the past. We have to live in the now. They're still down 2-1, but you should have confidence that your team has the ship turned around, and the Knicks have to be wondering, like, how did we win those two games, and how do we not trail by 20-plus points in a game against these guys?
Well, that's the biggest issue for the Knicks is... How about play a good basketball game? How about play early and...
They're not that good a team, for God's sakes.
They did win a lot of games this year, just not against the Celtics, Cavs, OKC, and the other good teams in the NBA.
Against the good teams, yeah.
Jalen Brunson hasn't been great. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't been great. Like, are they due? You know, the old Christian Fourier theory of due? Are the Knicks at some point due to just shoot well, to have Brunson and Kat go off and do their thing? Or is this just who the Knicks are? Are they a middling basketball team that got really lucky in the first couple games, and the Celtics got really unlucky, and just the circumstances, those were those sort of, that's why they play the games on the court, not just on paper kind of matchups. Because nothing I've seen leads me to feel that the Celtics are not advancing. And then you look and you see the Cavs getting absolutely curb stomped, or whatever phrase you want to use for
blasted.
That. Oh my God. That game, I was watching it last night, and I'm like,
Vontae Davis quit halfway through again.
I would have quit again, too. It's never a good thing when you're approaching halftime and you're down by more than you've scored already. It was like they had 39 and they were down 41 or whatever you like.
It's what they did to the Heat in the final game of that series,
yes.
Except the Cavs are the number one seed. Now, look, you know, we could jest all along like, was it supposed to be Knicks Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals because it's 1994?
Yeah.
I know, really. Like, is Reggie Miller going to give
Pat
the choke
Riley,
sign?
Reggie Miller, Spike Lee.
Where are the Davis brothers when you need them?
The reboot that everyone didn't want.
Paging Detlef Schrempf. Detlef Schrempf, you're needed at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, it's wild, but the Celtics have a chance to actually put together a rematch. Now, here's the rematch the people deserve. And again, they need to go out and just play a coherent, sound, fundamental, team-oriented game like they did on Saturday. And by the way, Jason Tatum's winning percentage is higher at their garden as opposed to his own garden. So
wait, he hates the garden? He hates our garden?
He
Why is he more comfortable there?
At their garden? No.
We
I don't know.
MSG.
I mean,
617-779.
I do look forward to, I'm telling you, once they fix it, it's called Madison Square Garden. It's a circle. And it's surrounded by awful people, as I experienced on Saturday in the Midtown Heat. He just loves playing there. It feels like he has to go into enemy territory to access his darkness or for the pressure to come off. And I'm looking forward to sharing and talking about his post-game quote on Saturday, because I'm not sure how you feel about it, but I absolutely love what he had to say about his game, his style, his approach as a human being, as a teammate, as a basketball player. And I feel like he came back to, like, not to get too holistic about it, but I think he recentered himself. And he did Saturday, so did the team. And that's why you saw such a kick-ass effort.
Did he, like, use incense or cleanse the MSG?
Did
he walk around barefoot?
Did not have to
save
the arena.
Yeah, barefoot, grounded.
I'm not sure if any one of the four of us is qualified to gauge whether or not his chakras are in alignment.
Yeah.
All's right
with Tatum. He's back, baby?
Of course. He's back. The team's back. Your boy Jaylen Brown. You know what else I really liked, Andy? They didn't let the Knicks push them around as much on Saturday. Like Porzingis, you can tell he is still dragging ass. He still doesn't feel his best, but he still fought for rebounds. Horford was more assertive. Peyton Pritchard didn't get balls plucked out of his hands. JB didn't have his lunch stolen out of his hands. It was more like, no, enough of this-ish. We're the Celtics, you're the Knicks, and we're going to play this way, and if you want to go and play the Pacers in the next round and take away an Eastern Conference Finals rematch, then you're going to have to take it from us.
So some of the numbers, you mentioned it earlier, you go to shoot 50%, not only from three, but basically from the floor. They were 48 and change overall shooting, and the Knicks shot, and this is funny, you shoot 20% from three, single-digit threes, you lose. What was that guy's name on the Don Imus show? He used to say that. If you shot five threes and shot 20%, you lose.
Warner with the great Warner Wolf.
Yeah,
let's
Warner
go
Wolf.
To the videotapes.
Yes.
Or you could go Willy Wonka with like, you lose. You get nothing, sir. Good day.
And they moved to 3-0. This is the thing that I don't know how much I buy this stat. They moved to 3-0 when they have 20 plus assists in the postseason. Don't you get assists when someone makes shots? So doesn't it kind of...
You still have to pass the ball first before somebody makes the shot.
No, but my point is if they hadn't shot 25%, they would have had more assists in the first two games. Like, there would have been more assists involved.
That's a fair point, but also when you take the inbounds pass and you hold it for 19 or 20 seconds and then just foist a ridiculous 31-foot three and it doesn't go in, you can't get an assist. If it does go in, even.
Why are you criticizing Tatum? We just said he's playing well and he's back, baby. And you specifically,
that's what he was doing prior to. And then he came back. I said he recentered at the garden with all the enmity. Mm. By the way, I did have somebody ask me what sexual favors I would perform on Jason Tatum. Yes. Matt, I met like the Fitzy version of the Knicks outside of Madison Square Garden. And I'll tell you, I'm very comfortable and confident in my style and manner in which I approach fans and interviews after talking to Nixie, if you will.
So Nixie asked you what favors you would perform?
Or if I would allow Jason Tate. I mean, like,
what are we
doing? It just went straight to like, hey, what's up? Can you do an interview? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And he's like, so let me ask you right now. Would you take blank from Jason Tatum right now in the blank? And I was like, this is how you start your interviews, bro? Okay.
My boss said I can't do these type of interviews. Gotta go.
Well, then I said, how much would the Celtics win? But it got awkward for I made it as awkward for him.
It got awkward. That wasn't the awkward part. When he asked you if you'd blank the blank of blank or whatever with Jason Tatum. Let's get back on track here. The Celtics are now down 2-1. But it makes me wonder, and I put this up on the show poll today.
The old TP Twitter poll.
And we'll get into those results in a minute. But doesn't it feel like all the pressure's on the Knicks right now? This series, it feels over. Once you kind of let the... Because you mentioned it. Even the 20-point lead in Game 3, everyone's like... Yeah, but can they hold on to it? Is this where they fall apart? Is this where the Knicks, you know, hit their stride? They didn't. Celtics controlled the game. It was fine.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, the Knicks had their shot. They could have gone for the knockout, and they didn't get the knockout. So when this one goes the distance, the better team is going to win. So I think all the pressure's on the Knicks. If this series is 2-2, it's over. 2-2 to me is same as 4-2.
No, 2-2, and she's done. She's Dunsky at that point. It's fait accompli. Whether it goes 6 or 7, we'll see. But for all the fans outside of the Garden on Saturday, carrying brooms and their fancy, funny signs and filthy YouTubers and whatnot, like, I can only imagine how demoralizing Saturday was, because that was a box to wire ass whooping. The Celtics never trailed. They were the better team. That's the one thing that is just so frustrating about this. And again, we're focusing more on the now and the future than in the past. But it's just crazy to think that they allowed the Knicks back into those games as much as they blew them. That said, I think they found their swagger as well. Like, you don't have anybody on the Celtics that's put up a 30-point game. You're talking about, you know, can they get Brunson and Cat going? Will the best Knicks game and offense be activated? Who has played the best offensive game for the Celtics yet? We're talking about a 21-point performance from Peyton Pritchard at the Garden Saturday afternoon. Where's the 30-plus? If Tatum comes out tonight and drops a 34-piece, this game, like, you might see someone from the Knicks retire in the third period.
They haven't needed it. You know, in Game 3, they played just sort of well-rounded team basketball. They didn't need especially somebody who may or may not have bet on the over for Tatum and didn't get it. They didn't need that. Now, it didn't help that he was getting offensive fouls.
Our first mentioning of our gambling problem.
Can he stop having offensive fouls where he pushes off and then...
Well, at the same time, Andy, we do have to start cutting him a little bit of slack. Now, I've been dying to ask you this question.
Yeah, Tatum needs more slack. That's what he needs. The guy that was anointed God the second he arrived in Boston. Paul Pierce 2.0 before he shot a basket.
He's gone to the conference finals just about every year and delivered more joy than basically anyone else not named Tom Brady over the past decade in Boston. That being said, or Santa Claus... my question is this. So there's that photo that the Celtics posted of Tatum in his tracksuit that probably costs more than the two of us make combined, because he did admit that he makes a lot of money and has a nice life. And he's getting on the Delta plane, whatever, about to fly to New York. Personally, I'd take the Acela, whatever. And he has in his hand the Exogen, like the company that makes the temporal thermometers that like boomed during COVID. He's got the Exogen bone healing device.
Mm.
Did you see that? In his right hand, he's got, what the actual name of it is, but he's carrying basically his duffel, and then you can see it. So all the Twitter sleuths zoomed in on it, you know, zoom in, enhance. And they figured out it's a bone healing device. So is he just taking that with him? Was it just giving it to him? Or did he carry that on purpose in his outside hand so people could see it, so then the yous and me's could lead a dialogue saying, Jason Tatum's playing hurt. I got to tell you, hot. It's amazing. It's what this guy's going through and that he's able to do it. This is excellent. Now we know there's built-in excuses, but also it's a valiant, valiant performance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's also the superficial answer of he dealt with a bone bruise of the wrist in the Magic series, and he's just doing what high-level treatments professional athletes do to, you know, he might be recovered to 96%. Let's get the last 4% done. This will help him do it. Now,
does he need to carry it, though, when social media is snapping pics, getting on the airplane?
The cynic in me goes down the Fitzy road of, just in case they went down 3-0 and he shot 3 of 17 from 3 again. And absolutely, it was pre-excuse making. It's because, you know what I believe, excuses are reasons given by losers. Just in case we lose this game and I don't play well, It doesn't hurt to have people. We do it all the time in sports. We go back. The great Tom Brady would get it at times. Hockey players get it all the time. Patrice Bergeron and others, right? We don't know about the injury. Oh, wow. He was gutting through. No wonder they didn't play all that well.
Did you know Brady was playing that game with three broken feet and a severed testicle?
Because that was very deliberate. He could have just as easily put that in a backpack or a carry-on.
Cynical Stanley believes it was early excuse-making.
I'm just saying it was officially replaced.
It was a very deliberate move. And Exogen on their website states that it accelerates the healing of fresh fractures by 38%.
Ooh, so he had a fracture, not just a bone bruise. Is that what we're going with?
Just letting you know what the website is.
Isn't a bone bruise the first step towards a fracture?
As Bill Belichick likes to say, I am not a doctor. I could not answer whether a bone bruise. I thought a bone bruise was just blood. I thought all bruising was blood pooling.
Pooling, yes.
So I figured it was blood pooling at the bone or something.
It may be a little bit even more than we realize, but Stiz, I'm with you. See, I don't hold it against him because he gets so much clap back that maybe he wants to let everyone know, like, listen, I'm doing my best, but just so y'all know, this hurts. So yeah, it could have easily been in the bag of the trainer. He could have had someone else carry it. He could have had, I'm sure, $60 million a year. He can afford some sort of Yves Saint Laurent or Gucci bag or Prada bag to slip that into.
Or maybe he's making $61 million a year because they paid him to have his bag open and show their product so they could get some idiots on Boston Sports Radio talking about it.
Hashtag influencer, hashtag bone bruise.
Right, going to the website. We got our freaking producer doing research for him, giving out the website and what it does. Oh, that does that? Oh, I'm going to look that up and
I actually
order
just
one.
Bought one.
Right, see?
Side note, I could use one of those.
Sucker born every minute and they just advertise to a bunch of them.
Look at that, huh? See, it's not, everything is done. See, I don't know if in the Andy Hart back of the toilet book of idioms, the I'm not for everyone, you know, excuses are, you know, rationales for losers, etc. Yeah. Is there something, you know, to me, everything is done for a reason. No move is made without a purpose behind it. And I thought, when I saw that, I was like, all right, buddy, I feel you. Well, you know what? Tell you what, just go out and have a game on Saturday, get the dub, and nobody cares what you were carrying in your right hand.
Correct. And it's a win-win for him. He might make some money, he might make an excuse, or he might just win, and he was talking about it in victory. He wins no matter what. Somehow in there, in those three options, those three offshoots,
Jason
Tatum
wins. Shout
out my
people at Exogen for helping me heal my bone.
617-779-7937. We see your phone calls lining up, reacting to Celtics Game 3 win over the Knicks, heading into Game 4. In New York tonight at Madison Square Garden, which Fitzy noted is a round arena in New York City, where the pressure is on. But it's a question of who the pressure is on tonight. Knicks team that's up 2-1, Celtics team that is down 1-2, but the favorite to win the title or the expected team to win the title. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the first time today and the first time this week, it's so exciting. Dan Ball has what's trending. Yes, Stiz, I get it. Missoula Darkness. It's a little anti-Stiz in its style.
A little slow, yeah.
But appropriate. That was Jay Williams calling the Knicks a car that won't start. And we're not talking about cars today, Fitzy, because I have to believe that when they give you a complimentary car at the dealership when they're fixing yours, that car should have air conditioning when you're driving to work that day. And
well, this sounds personal.
Pisses you off. No, where would you get that from? That was a hypothetical. Just a hypothetical if they're going to give you a complimentary car. It should have AC.
What happened to the leak in the...
Yeah, what happened to the hole in the car?
What kind of car doesn't have AC in the year 2025?
No. It has AC. It just doesn't blow out cold air. It blows hot air like you.
That's an important component when it comes to...
Yes.
Yeah.
And I tried it different ways, turning it on, using the thermostat. Nope, nothing. No, nothing. Yeah, the good news is they're fixing my truck. They actually found the leak with a garden hose. They were spraying all. They got to reseal the windshield. So I'm glad I didn't cancel that appointment today. Because there was definitely a leak. It was in the, what do they call that? Like the left side, I don't know.
Strong side?
I don't know. The pillar there that holds the windshield, attaches the windshield to the roof and that whole part.
Cars aren't
yeah, not my thing.
I drive one to get places.
Yeah, me too. And I usually like it to be cold when it's relatively warm outside. And I'm on the highway and I don't want to put the windows down and look like a jackass on 93. So thank you, Honda people, for a car that doesn't have AC. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to rant and rave about other things, not my car situation. Let's go to David in the car. What are your thoughts on that Celtics win on Saturday and what you expect for tonight? David.
Excellent talk.
David, that's a tough start, David. Why'd you wait so long and then not talk when I went to you? And I don't know how to put people on hold, so you're gone. I'm dropping you. All right, let's go to...
He'll call back if he cares.
Call back, David, if you can hear me through your radio, because you clearly couldn't hear me through your phone.
I had to say his name a couple times when we were screening him, so my hopes weren't overly high.
What, did he have a bad cell or something?
I think it was more of a user error than anything
else. Oh, like it's like Stiz with the tacos, operator error. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Ralph, what are your thoughts on the Celtics right now?
Well, that was exactly the kind of win they needed to put them in their place to get their confidence back. I think it's Celtics in 6 or 7. You know, they want something. So did Missoula. But I've got to tell you guys, what Tatum said after that game was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen an athlete say. He did not gloat, and he put it like it was. People expect so much of me. I am who I am. People should understand that about Devers, too. We look at these athletes, and we try to make them something. Sometimes they're not. But Tatum, I think, is maturing game by game, and he shows it in the playoffs. You know, he's not always going to have a great game, and he knows it. But he stays who he is. They can win, and they won big without him scoring 35 points. I was very impressed, and I think they're going to win. Please, I'd love to say they're going to win the next three, but they should. They took this series back, I think, that night by blasting them.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. I need to defend Tatum. Yeah, you heard me. I need to defend Tatum.
Wait, hold on.
Tatum.
This is coming from you. This
yes.
is not AI. You didn't lose
nope.
a bet.
Nope. This is the real Andy Hart. If I had a newspaper, I'd hold it up to show you that the date is, in fact, today, May the 12th, and I'm defending Jason Tatum. I am not going to allow Devers and Tatum to be compared. When has Tatum ever done anything close to what Devers is doing? Even close. That'd be like... Oh, we actually want you to drive to the rim sometimes. He does that. It's not maybe his preferred style. Or, Tatum, we need you to bring the ball up. Or, Tatum, we need you to play a couple extra. If Tatum plays his ass off. Tatum plays hurt. It was why it was so notable that he missed the game 2 against the Magic. The guy's always out there. So screw you comparing him. No, no offense, Ralph. I didn't mean that in a personal sense.
Ralph.
Even though you're the one sort of in my crossfire here. That's not fair to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has his faults. Jason Tatum may have some inconsistencies. But Jason Tatum has always been here for the Boston Celtics and his team. Am I wrong? Is there 1 ounce of comparison that's worthy in that, Fitzy? Because if you disagree, give it to me. Because, you know I can be a Tatum homer at times.
Oh, yes.
Wait,
everybody knows there are few Tatum apologists, few Tatum appreciators in town greater than thou. I would never compare the two.
No.
I understand trying to understand the nature of somebody and appreciate them for who they are or not make them play out of position or where they're uncomfortable can rear its head, but not when you're getting paid all the money you are and not when you put forth the petulant attitude that some of the athletes mentioned in the aforementioned rant are presented. No, I would never compare Tatum and Rafi Devers. As a matter of fact, I think Jason Tatum, even though Jaylen Brown was the one who liked the tweet saying he was the most underappreciated athlete in Boston, then the world has crowned Jason Tatum, but I still think sometimes he gets a little bit underappreciated for all the things that he does, including playing through pain that makes him bring a bone healing device on an airplane in the playoffs.
And Ralph used the word maturity. Jason Tatum is light years more mature than Rafi Devers.
Oh, hands down.
If anything, I think maybe he's too mature at times and thinks a little too much and maybe overanalyzes things. I don't
you want him to be a little more J.R. Smith and a little bit less Jason Tatum.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more just let the competitive fire take over. The competitive fire that
give in to the darkness.
And I think he did that against the Magic. I think he was pissed that he got fouled, and I think he was pissed that he had a bone bruise in the wrist. And what did he do? He went out and scored 35 points in 3 straight games. Did some Larry Bird-ish out there. So I'd like a little bit more of that. So no more slander of Jason Tatum on this show unless I'm the one doing it. Let's go to the poll. Twitter, at Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy, who faces the most pressure in tonight's Game 4 battle between Boston and New York and MSG? I wrote that we're not allowed to put the team names, like I'm one of those weird gambling sites. Between Boston and New York in basketball right. at MSG.
Oh, that's the big game here tonight.
Who faces more pressure tonight?
It's the Knickerbockers
Did
and a runaway.
Did you just burp again?
Nope, I was just clearing my throat.
Clearing your throat of air that came out through your mouth and sounded like a burp. Mm-hmm. Well done.
And the diaphragm.
I believe that the pressure is on the Knicks, but you and I would both
say.
Be wrong. Because
what?
The people that vote in my polls on Twitter, 58% said the pressure is on the Celtics. Only 42% said the pressure is on the Knicks. I don't
Girls,
get that.
You cray.
Really?
Really?
Like, I don't. Did I write it in a weird way that people didn't understand the question? Or as the kids say, didn't understand the assignment kind of thing? because the Knicks are grasping for dear life right now. That's how I would describe the Knicks, is grasping for dear life. Like, they got a shocking lead in the series, and now they're like, oh no, the Celtics are back. They're hitting their threes. We still suck. We're not that good.
Look at that. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I don't really get the lot. Sometimes I can put my mindset in the voting public's mind, like how they voted for it. I don't really get why people would think there's a lot of pressure on the Celtics tonight. I mean, I guess it's not great to go down 3-1.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Because then, straightforward, every game the rest of the series is a must-win game.
Yes, but the better team. Which team has had a 20-point lead in every game in this series?
That would be not the Knicks.
Yeah, that would be the Celtics. Which team was projected to win the series to start the series?
That would be not the Knicks.
Which team has so much of an abundance of talent that a radio analyst in Boston said, bloodbath, it's not even going to be close because the talent is so different. That would be the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, the Celtics are always the better team. So the Knicks are fighting the uphill battle. The Knicks are the underdog. And if the underdog gets even, you know what Randy Moss would say? We even, I'm leaving. If the Celtics get even in this series, they're leaving this series and they're taking on the Pacers in the next round.
But I think there is something to be said, though, still about, all right, nice win. Now do it again. Now you know, everything that happened in games one and two, the dismay of dropping a game with a 20-point lead, the horror and disgust of losing a second consecutive game where you had a 20-point lead, not learning from the first. And we all remember, as those of us that are parents, Little League coaches and beyond, you know, those of us that don't learn from our mistakes and past history are doomed to repeat it. So the fact that the Celtics did that is what cast all confidence aside and had us worried about the Celtics. Well, they remembered how to play their brand of basketball. Now they just have to do it again. And then what it turns into, Andy, is a best of three. So then it's a 0-0 affair, a three-game series. And who among us wouldn't think that the Celtics, with momentum on their side, could win a best of three? So I can see why the voting public would still say, there's a little more pressure on the Celtics than you think, because they got to do it again.
I think they're playing free and clear. But we know the Knicks avoided going down 3-0, because if they go down 3-0, the Celtics, they lose the series unless they want to make some history. But I put our research department, Fitzy, just to look at some how things evolve in series and the likelihood of outcomes based on not going down 3-0, becoming 2-1 when you had a 2-0 lead. So that means we'll go to the research. I think the research department is back in. So Dan Ball, have you talked to the research department?
Yes, I have. And here's what they gave me, a.k.a. here's what I gave myself.
Yes.
A total of 463 playoff series have at some point a status of 2-0. So this is updated as of the most recent round of this year's NBA playoffs.
Okay.
463 of those, the team that was up 2-0 has won 429 of those. So that's almost 93% of the series have been won by the team that goes up 2-0.
Okay.
87 times in history, that series has finished in six games. 14 of those have been won by the team that went down 0-2. And then another 58 have gone to game seven, so less than game six, and 14 have won those as well. So it's more likely out of those two scenarios for a series to be finished in six than seven if a team does come back from down 0-2.
So the Celtics in six is a very legitimate possibility when they win tonight, that they just close this out.
There is a bigger sample size of that happening than it going to game seven in New York, winning another game out of those.
So without getting all very granular and like studying series by series and comparing it to regular season, it feels like there's been some hiccups like the Celtics had to go down 2-0. And then the team woke up and said, oh, we actually have to play with our little brothers here. And they went four straight games and ended the series in six. That's just how I'm choosing to interpret those.
That's a good takeaway from this, yeah.
Analytics, Fitzy. So Celtics win tonight, the series is over. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, you are not oversimplifying that by any stretch or any means. And I got to tell you, I have my times where I get very frustrated with this Celtics team, Andy. I don't like Montessori Missoula ball at times. You know, the New York media calling them the Boston Chuckers because all they do is chuck up threes. We don't love the three-point shot. The way that they played game three, the way that Jason Tatum played angry against the Orlando Magic, if there's some way that they can fuse those two things together in this game and the rest of the series, I think you're going to start to hear, see, and feel a lot of the fans that were almost trying to keep They were kind of giving Celtics the emotional Heisman a little bit recently. I think you're going to see a lot of those local fans welcoming them back into their living rooms, embracing the possibility of a conference finals rematch with the Pacers, and maybe making a run at back-to-back banners.
617-779-7937, taking your calls, your reactions to the Game 3 win for the Celtics heading into Game 4 tonight. Who is the pressure on? How do you see this series unfolding now that the Celtics got a win? But up next, we go around the NBA because there's some other series that are taking place right now that are interesting. There's also some developments with Giannis in Milwaukee. And I know at least one host on this station has addressed the idea of wanting Giannis on the Celtics. We'll talk about that and more NBA action next on WEEI Afternoons. Giannis, could he be on the move? Is his time in Milwaukee up? Would you want him in Boston? I know Wiggy would. I know I've already seen internet sleuths and trade proposals and people trying to figure out how you could make that work. I have no interest. Nick Fitzy Stevens.
None? Oh, none. I forget. Oh, wait. That's right. I forgot about when we were doing the Saturday shows. He used to always talk about what a dink Giannis was.
Hate him. Would not want to see him.
What is it again? Why do you hate him so much? Just tell the audience in case people aren't familiar with your Giannis loathing.
He plays this annoying style of bully ball where he just runs full speed through people, and then the couple times he doesn't get a foul call, he bitches about not getting a foul call despite being freaking a tight end like Gronk running people over on a basketball court. It's just, it's an ugly style of basketball, and I don't think it would work with Jason Tatum, because I know people figure, oh, you trade Jaylen Brown and there's some permutation that can get you Giannis. I do not want to see Jason Tatum and Giannis together. That would be disgusting. And I like the Celtics. I root for the Celtics, and I don't want to have a guy that I don't really like, especially since I don't love Tatum. Now you pair a Tatum that I'm not all in on.
You were just absolutely tongue-bathing Jason Tatum the first 45 minutes of the show. Now we're back to I don't really like him?
I said I don't really love him. I'm not all in on him. And it's called objectivity. I can promote how much I like about certain things while also acknowledging.
That's the duality of Andy Hart.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not one of those.
It's more a triality or quadrality, Dan.
Maybe, but I'm not a yes man where just because I like you means I like every single thing you do, or just because I hate you means I can't acknowledge when you do things that I like.
Was this in your wedding vows?
Yeah, it probably was. It's why I teared up a little bit. It's why she teared up too, because the mistake was too far down the road to
All right, but hold on. You're telling me if there was some sort of trade made.
No.
I'm not advocating for it or coming out against it, because I'm not really sure where my feelings are on it yet. But I don't think I'd hate it. I mean, I think Giannis and Tatum would be yuck.
I don't even know if I could watch.
Well, then I'd have to carry all the Celtic segments.
You would, and that would not be good for anyone.
How do you know that? I'd turn into Celtic. I would just be.
Wait, I need an opinion. We're not doing the flippity floppity floppity.
Would
flippity,
I like?
Wait,
would I like? Yeah. Would I like Giannis on the Celtics? 100%. But is it going to happen? Absolutely not. Because the money.
No, I don't care about that. Yeah, I don't care about that. But would you want him? If it could happen, would you make it happen? Even if it costs you whatever. The only thing it's not going to cost you is Tatum. They're not going to trade Tatum. But everything else would be on the table, I would assume. Which means Jaylen Brown will be in Milwaukee. Those would be feisty matchups. Jaylen Brown.
For the theater and the drama alone, I would be. First of all, we've discussed that we both believe Jaylen Brown would be able to unlock the next level of his game if he weren't in Boston and was in a different system. So for him to finally get what he has wanted, which is a chance to be the man and have the offense run through him, be the focal point of the team, that would be great. Yes, he and Jason Tatum have found a way to coexist, cohabitate, and be dynamic together, which is awesome. That said, if Jaylen Brown could do that, and then you bring Giannis to town, holy smokes.
Well,
man.
We have noted that the NBA has mastered the hot stove or cool summer or whatever you want to call it, off-season talk in recent years.
You got NFL off-season, you got hot stove for baseball. Basketball officially needs a term.
Yeah, well, it's going to be good, whatever it is. Fireworks. 4th of July fireworks in the NBA, because we're already getting the rumblings, rumors, reports, whatever you want to call it, that the Celtics could get altered, blown up, changed, depending on how things play out with new ownership and how the season plays out. Now you get an MVP and Giannis on the block. We know there'll be a couple others that'll be available. There might be mothers available. I don't know. Mother's Day went well, didn't go well. Maybe they want to look for a new family to have in the future. But no, it's going to be another exciting
offseason. Delonte West knows a mom that's not available.
I don't think that's okay. But elsewhere, we touched on it earlier. The Cavs laid an epic egg last night. against the seemingly growingly dangerous Pacers.
They're dangerous. That's right, Iceman. I'm dangerous.
They are starting to become a little bit of a scrappy, scary basketball team. And I know I don't think anybody would have said that going into the playoffs necessarily, although we always go back to the most difficult sweep in the history of the NBA last year was Celtics-Pacers, where it was a sweep only in the 4-0 win-loss column. Everywhere else, it was an absolute dogfight.
Okay, so the Pacers finished the regular season. While you were talking, stats and research department here at the Fitzatorium checking in, 50-32. They are not playing like a team that finished the regular season 50-32. They are playing phenomenal clutch basketball. Tyrese Haliburton, most overrated player in the NBA. My hairy backside. Get out of here. He's been dynamite. Playoff Neymar is coming back to form as well. They're dangerous. Really, really dangerous. They're dangerous and dangerous at the same time, Andy. Like, I think in their mind, they're thinking, you know what? This Cavs team, they aren't that good. Also, we banged them up real good. They're injured. We took their heart out of them. They're going to finish this series off, and then they're going to wait for a rematch with the Celtics, a team that they did lose 4-0 to last year. But guess what? Every game was close, and they knocked the Celtics out of the your favorite thing, the Emirates Midseason Tournament Cup, Tri-Wizard Cup, Harry Potter thing that they do.
617-779-7937 will continue to take your phone calls on the Boston Celtics. How happy are you that they finally got a win? And how confident are you heading into tonight's game? But coming up on 3 o'clock, that means it's time for the three-point stance. And since Ted Johnson's not here today, that means Stiz is involved. And if Stiz is involved, it means Bill Belichick is involved. So stick around for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons.